You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. This is Atis, I'm Tower, and we've got a full board today. Southwest Airlines is shaking up its identity again. The Air Force just gave us our best look yet at the B-21 Raider, and there's a mental health bill moving through Congress that every pilot in this country should be paying attention to. Let's get into it. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, lead story. Southwest Airlines. If you've been watching what's happening in Dallas, you know this is not the same airline that Herb Kelleher built. CEO Bob Jordan told investors and analysts this week that the airline is, quote, not done making changes. And then he teased two things that would have been unthinkable 5 years ago, lounges and first class. Let that land for a second. Southwest Airlines, the carrier that built its entire brand on one class. No frills, bags fly free, and a boarding process that looks like a cattle call but somehow works. That airline is now openly exploring premium cabins and dedicated lounge spaces. Here's what you need to know. This isn't just an airline chasing revenue. This is a survival play. Southwest has been under enormous pressure from activist investors, particularly Elliott Investment Management, who pushed hard for leadership changes and a strategic overhaul. The open seating is already gone. Assigned seats are coming. And now premium products are on the table. Why does this matter? If you're a general aviation pilot and not a frequent flyer on Southwest? Because it tells you where the entire airline industry is heading. Every major domestic carrier is now competing on the premium end. Delta has been doing it for years. United has been pouring money into Polaris. American has its flagship suites. And now Southwest, the last holdout of the egalitarian flying experience, is joining the race. The broader trend here is that airlines have figured out that the front of the airplane makes the money. Economy seats are a commodity. Premium seats are a commodity. Premium seats are a profit center, and that reshapes everything from fleet decisions to route planning to airport infrastructure. For those of you who fly commercial to get to your airplane, your options are changing. For those of you watching airport development at your home field, this premium push drives terminal expansion and gate reconfiguration. It ripples out. We'll see where Southwest actually lands on this. Teasing lounges and first class is one thing. Engineering the product, training the crews, and retrofitting the fleet is another. But the direction is clear. The Southwest you grew up with is becoming something else entirely. Now let's shift gears to something that hits much closer to home for every certificate holder listening. There is bipartisan legislation moving through Congress right now aimed at pilot mental health, and the headline doesn't tell the whole story. The bill's sponsors are calling out what they describe as a dangerous culture of silence in aviation when it comes to mental health. And if you've ever sat in an aviation medical examiner's office wondering what you can and cannot disclose without losing your medical certificate, you know exactly what they're talking about. This affects you if you hold any class of FAA medical. The current system creates a brutal paradox. We tell pilots to seek help, but the reporting requirements and the bureaucratic consequences of disclosing a mental health diagnosis or treatment can ground you for months, sometimes years. While the FAA processes paperwork, so pilots don't talk, they don't seek treatment, and we end up with a system that pushes people to hide conditions rather than manage them. The new legislation aims to reform that process. The details are still being worked out, but the intent is to create pathways for pilots to get mental health support, particularly for common conditions like depression and anxiety, without automatic certificate action. The goal is treatment over punishment. Now, I want to be measured here. Aviation safety is not negotiable. Nobody wants an unfit pilot at the controls. But the current system doesn't actually catch unfit pilots. It catches honest ones. The pilots who are truly struggling and not disclosing it are invisible to the system anyway. So reforming the reporting structure to encourage treatment is, in my view, a net safety gain. That said, the devil will be in the implementation. How the FAA defines acceptable treatment pathways, what conditions qualify, and how the appeals process works will determine whether this is a real reform or just a press release. Keep an eye on this one. If you're an Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association member or a member of the Experimental Aircraft Association, both organizations have been advocating on this front. This is worth your attention and your voice. All right, let's talk about something that made a lot of aviation enthusiasts sit up straight this week. The United States Air Force released the first official photographs of the B-21 Raider during aerial refueling tests, and for the first time, we're seeing the topside of that aircraft in clear daylight as it sits behind a KC-135 tanker. For those of you not tracking the program, the B-21 is Northrop Grumman's next-generation stealth bomber. It's meant to replace the B-2 Spirit, and eventually the B-1 Lancer. The Air Force has been running flight tests out of Edwards Air Force Base in California, and the program has been remarkably tight-lipped compared to other major defense acquisitions. These refueling photos matter because aerial refueling certification is a critical milestone. It validates the flight envelope around another aircraft, it tests the receptacle systems, and it confirms the aerodynamic stability of the platform in close formation with a tanker. Getting fuel in the air is what gives a bomber global reach, and demonstrating that capability moves the B-21 significantly closer to operational status. From a pure aviation standpoint, the engineering is remarkable. The flying wing design, the blended surfaces, the way the intakes are integrated. It's a reminder of what American aerospace engineering can produce when the mission demands it. Now, shifting from military hardware to commercial cabin design, because there's an interesting concept making the rounds at the Aircraft Interiors Expo in Hamburg this week. A company is showcasing what they're calling a double-decker seating prototype, and they're targeting it for the Airbus A350. The idea is a two-level cabin layout where you get something approaching business-class comfort in an economy-class footprint. The lower level has a lie-flat style recline, and the upper level sits above it in a staggered arrangement. Here's my honest take. We see these cabin concepts at every Interiors Expo, and very few of them make it to production. The certification requirements alone are staggering. Every seat has to meet dynamic load testing for crash scenarios. Evacuation compliance gets complicated when you're stacking passengers vertically, and airlines are notoriously conservative about adopting radical interior changes because of the maintenance and crew training implications. But the concept is worth watching because it addresses a real problem. Airlines want higher density. Passengers want more comfort. Those two things are fundamentally in tension, and any design that credibly resolves that tension will get serious attention. Whether this particular approach survives contact with the certification process is another question entirely. Speaking of the A350's bigger sibling, Singapore Airlines continues to operate its Airbus A380 fleet on its longest routes. And that's a story about fleet economics that's more nuanced than it appears. The A380 was supposed to be the future of aviation when it launched. The super jumbo hub-to-hub, maximum passengers, and for a while it worked, but the industry shifted toward point-to-point flying with smaller, more fuel-efficient twin-engine widebodies. Most carriers have retired, or are retiring their A380s. Emirates is the notable exception. But Singapore Airlines is quietly keeping theirs flying on ultra-long haul routes, where the capacity and the premium cabin product justify the operating costs. It's a reminder that fleet decisions aren't one-size-fits-all. The right airplane depends on the route, the market, and the revenue mix. Singapore Airlines has a premium-heavy configuration on those aircraft that makes the economics work in ways they wouldn't for a carrier running a higher-density layout. And that connects to a broader point about how individual aircraft types have reshaped airline economics over the decades. The Douglas DC-3 made scheduled airline service economically viable. The Boeing 707 made the jet age accessible. The 747 created the mass long-haul market. The 737 and A320 families made short-haul flying profitable at scale, and the 787 and A350 are now enabling routes that simply didn't pencil out before. Each of those aircraft didn't just move passengers, they fundamentally changed the business model of the airlines that flew them. And that's what makes aviation such a fascinating industry. The hardware drives the economics, and the economics reshape the network, and the network changes how all of us travel. One more item before we wrap. Airbus has named Alberto Moraleda as its next board chair, succeeding René Obermann, who is preparing to step down. This was approved at the Airbus annual general meeting on April 14th. It's a leadership transition, and while board-level changes don't usually affect day-to-day operations immediately, it signals continuity in Airbus's strategic direction. Moraleda comes with deep industrial experience, and the smooth transition suggests Airbus isn't looking to change course on its current production ramp-up plans. That matters for the broader market, because Airbus and Boeing are both in a race to deliver on massive order backlogs, and any leadership instability at either company ripples through the entire supply chain. All right, that's the board for today. Sources on today's segment include AeroTime, Simple Flying, and The Aviationist. As always, we encourage you to dig into those outlets for the full reporting behind the headlines we cover here. Radio Hangar is an AI-generated broadcast built by pilots who believe aviation news deserves better context, not just louder headlines. You can learn more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Thanks for spending part of your day with ATIS. Whether you're in the pattern, in the flight levels, or just dreaming about being there, we appreciate you tuning in. Fly safe out there. Radio Hangar, clear skies and tailwinds.